So we're looking at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 to 17. When I sort of come away from the conference, I thought a little bit about us as followers of Jesus and how we live in our culture. We're part of our culture in many ways, but how do we stand out? Now, it was going to be a longer sermon, but I've got a bit of a sore throat, a bit of a croaky voice, so I sort of split it down to a one-point sermon just to hopefully get enough voice to get through. So, 1 Peter 3, 8 to 17. Have you got that in your Bible? I'm not sure what page it is in your blue Bible. Oh, excellent. Thanks, Bruce. Okay, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, and a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and to see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honour Christ the Lord as holy. Always be prepared to make a defence to anyone who asks for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behaviour in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. Not sure what's going on over there, a bit of a rattle. Let's pray. Our Father God, thank you for these words. They do challenge us as your people, and we pray that you'll enable us to hear this morning and respond in faith and obedience. We pray this through Lord Jesus. Amen. Excuse me. Well, it doesn't take long to realise that our life as followers of Jesus is becoming quite challenging. Challenging today, especially if we make a stance in what Jesus makes a stance in. You are most likely going to be labelled maybe a troublemaker, or even maybe some people may label you as hate speech. So how do we respond to this pressure within our culture that we are part of as followers of Jesus? Especially when it seems that following Jesus is often considered quite outdated, even a bit narrow-minded. Maybe we feel the challenge to just change, just blend in. Or maybe the challenge is to just shut up and be quiet about things, especially around friends, around the workplace. It's sort of like keep your Jesus, keep your Bible to yourself, keep it private. How does Jesus call us to respond to these challenges if we say we follow him as Lord? Well, there's been some options throughout Christian history or church history of how Christians have responded to these cultural challenges. Well, there's the first one. We withdraw. We withdraw from our culture. We're part of our culture, but we make a separate culture in ourselves. We become like a little separate community that withdraws itself from those around us. Often this is done in fear. Fear that we'll become like the people around us. So we withdraw. We're fearful of conforming. And so we put up walls. It's them and us. It's them and us. And there's nothing, there's a danger in this. We create strict, unbiblical membership and rules, and we add on extra things that what Jesus doesn't even talk about. And sometimes we can preach like that. It's them and us. Like I said, there's a real danger in that. And so we draw the lines in the sand, and we say we exclude even people who love Jesus because they have different sort of views on us. And so we react very exclusively to our culture. And so they tried this in the last century, not the first century, last century, with a sort of fundamentalist Christian thinking. And obviously they were reacting to cultural pressures. There was excessive drinking and things like that that the culture was doing, far greater than what they were doing today. And so Christians sort of exclude themselves and sort of abstain from alcohol and things like that. If culture went to movies, no, we don't do that. If they played rock and roll, we don't do that. And so we withdraw. Excuse me. We did this because we don't want to be like culture. So group one, that withdraws from culture. Puts up religious walls, legalism, adds extra rules, whatever it is. There's option two. That's simply conform to our culture. Just become like it. Just blend in. Abandon most of the things that Jesus teaches and sort of adopt a softer approach to Christianity. Especially when Jesus teaches on things that seem quite straight to the point, maybe anti-cultural, on sexual issues, moral issues, ethical issues. And so we blend in, we decide to domesticate our Jesus to our culture. So we muzzle him, we muzzle his word. And so we make Jesus a little bit less moral, a little bit more hippie spiritual guru. And this is with all good intentions to reach more people for Jesus. This is a Christianity. This is not anything less than that. Well, it is less than that in some ways, but it's a busy church. We're always doing good things, which is a good thing, because verse 13 tells us to be zealous for good works, good deeds. But this often doesn't have Jesus as Lord. He's more of a hippie social worker. And there may be within this option, like I said, the importance of seeing people come to Jesus, but Jesus has made it a bit more easier to digest, a bit more palatable. Doesn't talk about sin much, just talks about love, and that's that sort of group. So group two, the walls are sort of down. Group one, the walls are sort of up. Group two sort of blends into culture. Really nice people who don't rock the boat, who have domesticated Jesus. Well, then there's option three. We fight against culture. We go on the attack. Christians have done this in the past. You often see this in America, where they're holding out signs out the front of, down the streets, condemning certain practices to hell. And they're sort of really attacking the culture, shouting at people, going to war with culture. But is this how Jesus handled culture? Is this how Jesus did things? Did he go to war? He certainly had debates with particularly the religious leaders. He certainly had some fairly stern arguments with them when they got God wrong, definitely. But war, I don't think that quite describes Jesus. And I think as followers of Jesus, we often sort of move about in these three groups. We have strong sways for maybe one, but sometimes we move around in them. But if we become one of those groups, will people find the real Jesus? Will they meet Jesus if we're one of those? And would we be following the real Jesus if we were like one of those groups? And I certainly believe in all those groups there's been good-hearted Christians. Good-hearted Christians who have tried to do their best with their circumstances. But are we being faithful to Jesus if we were like one of them? Well, rather than exclude, be separate, rather than accommodate and sort of blend in, or rather than go on the attack, Jesus calls us to stand out and engage our culture and society with his love and truth. That's the main point of what Peter is making here in the verses in chapter 3 we just read. That in Jesus we are transformed people that stand out as his people in our culture. And what the first century was experiencing with this sort of pressure is exactly what we're experiencing today. You see, they were seen as a bit strange, and we're probably seen as a bit strange. They were probably seen as the rebels of society. We're probably seen as the rebels of society. So Peter is a close disciple of Jesus. He is an eyewitness. Jesus has the authority of Jesus. So Peter has the authority of Jesus to speak God's word to us today. And so through Peter, in this chapter, he highlights two points of how we are to stand out in our culture that's sort of confused by Jesus and Christianity. Firstly, we're to stand out as a distinct, loving community who clearly belong to Jesus. That's verses 8 to 12. And secondly, we are to engage our community who are we are an engaged community who are talking about Jesus to all people, 13 to 18. So we're going to look at point two next week. I think point one's probably enough for my voice to handle today. So first is 1 Peter 3:8-12 describes the church community as a loving community who are very distinct. Verse 8, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, and a tender heart and a humble mind. So here we're unified around Jesus in our mind, verse 8. So we're unified in Jesus' purpose in our minds, his mission in our minds. We're unified in the gospel, the message of Jesus in our minds. But also the change that gospel brings to us. Our minds are focused on Jesus. And just read the words of what we are called to set our minds on as well. We have to strive for sympathy. When was the last time you were sympathetic? Husbands, when was the last time you were sympathetic or showed sympathy to your wives or wives vice versa? Having tender hearts that show compassion. This is someone who really cares. You know, I was really convicted at the FISC conference about really caring, really having a good heart towards people. Been challenged by that. Have a good heart that cares for others. Humble in mind, it's the complete opposite to a proud mind. Think about a proud mind and just think of the complete opposite. It's a mind that has a humble attitude towards others. One thing that comes to mind is that we're not the saviours of the world. You know, so often we think we know everything, but we don't. We're not God. We need to be humble in mind. So when we live as God's people, we don't always have the answers. We don't need to always have the answers. We often don't understand the full story of what's happening in someone's lives. So we need to be humble in mind. Humble in mind towards others. Verses 9. Do not repay evil for evil, or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. I don't know about you, but it's hard when someone does something wrong towards you, someone does something evil towards you. It's really hard not to go to war with them. And maybe you have workplace situations, or maybe school, wherever it is. It's hard not to go to war with people. When people say harsh words to you, it's hard not to want to fight back, isn't it? Maybe it's in your relationships, your marriage. It's hard not to fight back. So I'm sure it takes God's work in us to not simply fight back. There's something in us, takes God's work in us to stop us from simply fighting back, but also takes the supernatural work of God through the Holy Spirit to, rather than fight back, to actually bless others when they are harsh to us. That's hard work. But as God's people, we have God's help to do this. And so as we do this, those around us see Jesus at work in our lives. They see a community, verses 10 to 11, that is turning from evil, and a people who seek and pursue peace. This letter was actually written to God's people. So that means the church was struggling to do this. Sometimes we miss this so often. Seeking and pursuing peace is because of the conflicts. But the key is the conflict is not the end of the story. Peace within our relationships is. Often people think that, you know, the church is just a bunch of hypocrites. Well, here it says that Peter is actually writing to them saying, yeah, you're struggling with things and you need to be pursuing peace in this. So yeah, sometimes we're not doing the right things. But that's not the end of the story. God calls us to pursue peace within our relationships. We are all sinners. We have found forgiveness in Jesus. Just look around at us, and there's some people not here today, but think about our whole church community. It's hard work loving others. It's hard work. It's hard work loving others who do wrong against us sometimes. We're called to bless rather than insult others. Pursue peace rather than war with others. And I think that's a community that our culture is longing for. I think all the programs they try and do in our culture don't work, often because of they don't have God's help in it. But we do. We have God's help in our community to do this. And that's how Jesus calls us to stand out. So we see a great picture of changed people who form a church, who gather together. And why does this happen? Why does this happen? Is it simply because Jesus just writes all these words to us and he simply tells us just obey all this stuff? Well, there is some part truth to that. We are called to be obedient people of Jesus. But Jesus is the key of all this. Have a think about Jesus and his attitude and expressions towards us. Just think about what we've just read. Jesus is sympathetic to us when we were still sinners. Jesus gives us brotherly love when we hated him. Jesus has a tender heart to us, even though he should be angry at us. And Jesus was humble in mind by coming and dying on a cross so we could find redemption, salvation in him. And Jesus, rather than repaying our evil, blesses us with eternal life in him. See, the message of Jesus in the gospel is a message of grace. And this is like no other religion. Religions generally teach you that you need to do good things to be loved by God. But Jesus has responded the complete opposite. The complete opposite to how we have treated our God. And so that flows through the church. It's not about us, it's not about how good we are, but it's about Jesus and how great his love and grace is towards us. And it flows out. It flows out to those around us. This is the grace of God at work, that God treats us so much better than what we deserve. So much better than what we deserve. Because of grace, we are changed people, and we ought to be humbled by God's grace. And that humility of grace should flow out into our church family. The key is not whether we drink or don't drink, or what we wear, or whether we go to movies, although there's some truths in those things that can be harmful. But the key is our humility in Jesus and us being recipients of that grace that Jesus gives. Because of this grace, we don't slander or insult others. Or if we do, we strive to confess and repent to others. Why? Because we pursue peace. We pursue peace. Clearly, Peter isn't, like I said, writing to a perfect church. They had tensions with this. But why do we do this? Because we have Jesus. We have Jesus who doesn't slander or insult us. Rather, he loves us and blesses us. So as God's family, we strive to build up and bless one another. Jesus' love transforms us to have a real brotherly love towards each other. I wonder what Jesus is actually saying to your heart right now. I wonder about what Jesus is saying, how you love. How you love your brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't think it's just limited to that. I think it can be extended out to our culture in a sense, how we love our neighbours, definitely. But it's even in the church we experience that most tension, I think. How's Jesus challenging you today? How do you respond to people? Do you bless or do you hurl insults? Do you go on the attack? See, if the people of God, if the gospel of grace, people driven by the gospel of grace, if they're no different, if we're no different than other people in the workplace or school or wherever we are, then the gospel has failed. And we've probably failed to understand who Jesus is. And what we fail to do is reveal the very Jesus that people need to know and to know the grace he has to offer. At the end of the day, we are God's family and we have brotherly love for each other. We seek peace rather than rage war, and this is unheard of, I think, often unheard of in our culture. And so we stand out in our culture as these people. We don't think high thoughts about ourselves. Rather, we are to know who we are before Jesus. That it's only by God's grace that we belong to God's family. That it's only by God's mercy we have been forgiven. The key is humility. Humility, having a humble mind. It's based around how we view ourselves. If you think you're important, you'll look down on others and you'll slander them. But if we look to Jesus and we see how he treats us, we'll look differently to our brothers and sisters. If we belong to Jesus, we are distinct people that stand out to those around us. We are new people in Christ. So I wonder if your friends looked at your life today, what would they see? Are you sold out to culture? Or are you sold out to Jesus? Jesus is the number one reason we live as a church. We're not a bunch of good people trying to be loved by God. We are people loved by God who are transformed by this amazing grace. And being transformed continually as we pursue peace in that grace. Maybe you've heard this today and you want to have Jesus in your life. And because you want to have God's grace transform you. And you want to become a new person who starts loving like Jesus. And you want to belong to that sort of family community who pursues that kind of love and peace that stands out. Well, it all starts with Jesus. It's looking to him, to his death on the cross. Why did Jesus die? Because you need your sin dealt with. Or you stand in judgment because of sin. He died so that you could be set free from sin and judgment that you deserved. And so you respond to Jesus by repenting, that saying, sorry, but it's a bit more, it's changing direction. It's from living a life that was rejecting Jesus to loving Jesus. You respond by believing, by trusting in Jesus. You look to the cross, and you see on the cross that on there, it's where Jesus has made you new by dealing with your sins, making you his child. It's there where you're welcomed in to God's family. It's there where you can see God is on your side. So maybe that's what the gospel is about. It's about following Jesus, about repentance and faith. And maybe that's a lot to digest, but maybe take the first step in just knowing Jesus. Knowing Jesus. Open up the book of Mark. Because what Jesus says is serious. At the end of verse 12, it tells us that if we continue rebelling against God, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. The face of God, there's only a judgment that awaits. The judgment that awaits. If you continue to ignore God, it's a judgment. And so that even in love, God is warning us. If we continue down this path, we need to hear his grace. We need to act today while grace is available rather than to see the face of God's judgment. Well, first, we're going to look at part two next week about responding, how we respond as God's people when people ask questions, because our lives are so standing out. So we're going to look at that. But for now, let's think about what First Peter has just called us to do. We don't withdraw from our culture, we don't exclude ourselves. Jesus calls us not to conform or to accommodate. Jesus doesn't call us to fight back or hurl insults. But Jesus calls us to a life that will stand out and point people to him as we live as his church. Well, I don't know about you, but I need God's help in doing this. So let's pray and ask him to help. Father God, we pray that as you've challenged us this morning, we would see the amazing grace of Jesus. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for seeing that. And Lord, every time we struggle with this, help us to look to you and realize how much we are loved by you, and realize how much we are forgiven by you, and realize how much you could have done, but you chose not to. Lord, we thank you for the fact that you treat us so much better than what we deserve. And that's amazing in itself. Lord, help us to treat our brothers and sisters, our culture around us, so much better than they deserve. Lord, we pray this. We need your help to do this. Lord, when people want to hurl something at us, even within our family or wherever it is, Lord, pray that we will respond to bless them. It's hard. But Lord, thank you for giving us your spirit in us to do this. And Lord, we pray to be challenged this morning through it, through your word. Pray this through Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. Please just feel free to enjoy some further just discussions and have a coffee and cake and, yeah, just encourage each other, I pray.
Okay.